Thank God. Praise God. Well, please turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. We've been talking about love. We're not going to do that today. And go a little bit different direction, and then I believe we'll come back. But today, it being the first Sunday of the year, we're going to go in a little bit different direction. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh," we all know that we're in the flesh. We all walked in here in a body. We're in the flesh. We don't have to walk according to the flesh, but we are in the flesh. Anybody that denies that is not looking at reality. But we walk in the flesh. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Really, I want to focus on verse 3 and 4. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," are not natural, "but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." It's not just a natural life that we live here. You can live just in the natural. People do it. But that's not how we're supposed to live as Christians. And as we're going into this new year, the thought I want to get over to you, and we said some things, you know, during communion, is that we are not just walking this through in the natural. Don't just set goals and make your plans and think about 2015 purely in the natural. Of everything that you have, take account of everything that you have just in the natural. What talents and abilities you have, what natural plans you have. We are not just natural beings. And our plans ought not to be just something that we came up with in our head. As Christians, we are running a race in this earth. And we have things to do that have eternal significance. It may get, see, right now it's on everybody's minds, and it may have already slipped, but right now it's on everybody's minds. It's the new year. I mean, the gyms are full. The diet plans and everything, you know, that's all going nuts right now. Why? Because, well, it's time to make a change and do something different. Well, that's can be good. But, you know, a little bit from now, we're all going to work. We're all going through our normal things in the day. And pretty soon, it's just normal life. You know, you hit January, just going to go like that. We all know that, right? I mean, we're going to be saying it's February here. In February, March, April, I mean, 2014 was a blur for me. I mean, it just went so fast. I mean, not that we don't enjoy it. We enjoy it, but still, man, it went fast. And it's so easy then, you know, you have this window where we're all thinking about things. We're taking an inventory, but real quick, it can just go back to just life as normal, right? Just plugging away. Well, I thought about doing that, but, you know, there's all this, so we're just going to put our heads down and go. Right? But as Christians, we ought to know and we ought to keep it front and center that it's not just you and I sitting down and writing some things at the kitchen table about what we want to accomplish in the natural. We ought to be going along, if we're married with our spouse, and saying, what would God have us to do? What's the next step that we ought to take in different areas? Because He's growing us up all the time. What are these next steps that we ought to be doing? What does He have for us? And you don't know it all right now. You don't have to know where you're going to end up in December, but you can know next steps. But the key thing I want to get over to you this morning is that we're not just doing those steps just in the natural. It is supernatural. It may not be spectacular, but what we have to know is that we are not running this race purely in the natural. God, if we'll let Him, will use us in the earth to move His plan forward. And the way He's going to do it is supernatural. It's not just you, not just your family moving things forward. There is a spiritual realm that you and I can't see with our physical eyes, yet it is very real. And angels, ministering spirits, part of their job is to help us get things done on the earth. Now, what are they going to help you with? They're going to help you with what God has told you to do. They're not obligated to help you with everything that you dream up. But if the Almighty says, I decree this is what you should do, they're already with that is enablement, is power, is support that goes with it to get it done. In other words, if God tells you to do something, the support is already there to do it. The money is already there to do it. Every avenue has been taken care of. That doesn't mean you're not going to have to use your faith. You will have to use your faith. You're going to have to believe God in what He told you to do. But He doesn't tell you to go in a direction and then not send the support to help. Now, it doesn't always look like the support's there. Ah, this is where faith comes in. Because we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And if God told you to do something, you need to go in that direction and believe that there is supernatural support to help you to do it. And that God's going to help you. And that it will come to pass just as He said it would. That's why it's so important to follow Him and to get His plan for you and your family. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to have step A, B, C, D, E, F, G, it all lined up. Men like to do that. God is not necessarily going to give you everything. A lot of times He gives you the next few steps or the next step, and until you do that step, you're not going to see anymore. That isn't always what your flesh likes. It would rather know all the next steps so that I can figure out how to do this. Your flesh doesn't like to be told, go there. Well, what after that? Go there. Well, what about what's next? Go there. And you can ask the rest of your life, what's the next step? And if you don't take that next step, the next step after the step you're being told, if you don't take that next step, God's very patient. He's long-suffering, and He'll let you, He's not going to move out of turn. If it's your move, He's not going to move. Yeah, but I want to see the next step. No, that comes after you move. See, He told you to move. You ever played a game like chess or checkers? How do you like it when your opponent moves and then they move right again? You don't like that, right? Well, I don't like it. Wait, it's my turn to move. We were just playing a game yesterday. No, it's my turn. You're moving before me. Well, God is a gentleman. If He tells you to move, He's going to wait for you to move. He's not going to say, all right, forget it, I'll move, I'll show you. You wore me out. Not going to happen. Right? It's not going to happen. He'll say, has He moved yet? Okay, Michael, tell me when He moves. I told Him what to do. Is He moved yet? No. Okay, well, just come and get me when He moves. Because I'm not going to move. Well, Lord, He's saying that He wants you to move. You know as well as I do that ain't happening. Now, I don't know if that really happens, but God is not going to move out of turn. He will let you go your whole life. And people don't like to hear that, but God is long-suffering. He will let you die and not do what He told you to do. In other words, He's not going to say, oh, it's been all this long. Okay, finally, I give. Here you go. Here's the whole plan. Now go do it. Not going to do it. We got to know that He has a plan, and it is supernaturally supported. And if He tells you to do something, you need to just act on what He's told you to do. Don't wait to know more. You know it's God. Take the time you need to know it's God, and then you need to act on it in His time. And then you'll see stuff open up. I've seen this again and again. We want to know. You know, somebody said it like this. You can go. You can drive. Now, you couldn't actually make it, but you could do this over several days. You could drive at night from Boston to L.A., seeing no further than your headlights, but you could get all the way there. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to actually see any further than your headlights, and you can drive all the way in the dark across the country. And God will show you only so far. For one thing, if He showed you everything, it'd probably blow your mind. If He showed you everything you really had for you, you'd probably fall over and say, there's no way I can do that. That's why He's not showing you that. He's just showing you this. Now you got to determine, am I going to do this? And He's good. He's not trying to withhold from you. It's just, doesn't it say that without faith, it's impossible to please Him? So you're going to need, if you're going to work with God, you just got to settle it. This is the way He operates. Faith is not optional with Him. If you're getting Him to try to operate a different way, it's not going to work. He demands faith. Faith without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can't come to Him without faith. You can't be saved without faith. Right? You can't just come and say, well, just show me Jesus and then I'll believe. No. Has anybody seen Jesus face to face? You might, maybe you have. I haven't. But I believe He's real. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He's my Lord and Savior. And I believe I will see Him face to face one day. You don't have to see everything to believe. That, see, the world's got it backwards. They say seeing is believing. That's not true. If you see it, you don't need to believe. No, believing is seeing. You believe and you can go and walk after God because you believe that He is telling you what He's telling you. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Say, where's 2 Kings? It's about a quarter through your Bible. So we have, the thing I want to get over to you is that as we're going into this new year, that we have a specific plan that God has for us, and that there is supernatural support for that plan. That's what I want to get over to you. We're going to go over some scripture. But just know, it's not just you walking things out, because the world will tell you it's just you. You better watch your back. You better plan for this and that, because you never know. Well, unless God is telling you to plan for this or that, you don't do that. You have to know that God is walking this through with you, and there is spiritual help. See, the world does not believe this. That's why we have to meditate on it. That's why we have to look at the Word and realize this. We just read in 2 Corinthians that we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. Okay? We walk in the flesh, but we don't wage combat in this world. Make no mistake, it's combat. The enemy wants to take you down. If you're a Christian, he wants to make your life nothing, of no consequence. That's what his plan for you this year is. Now, he is not bigger than God. He's nowhere near as big as God. And so if we just walk with God, then we can be conquerors throughout this year. But you need to keep, you need to realize that there is something going on behind the scenes. And if we realize this, then when certain things happen, we're not surprised. You're not taken off guard because you realize this thing is spiritual. Why are you and I, I've said this before, but I'm going to reiterate it. Why are you and I here? Why are we on the earth right now? If Jesus has already come, he's already saved us. If we are really citizens of heaven and we're really just residents here temporarily, actually aliens here because this isn't our home, why are we here? We're here because there are other parts of the family that haven't come in yet. And they're very important and precious to the Lord Jesus. You know, think of your natural family. Think of your natural family. If they were, say, part of your natural family was over in another country and somehow they got dispersed and lost and you brought in some help to try to seek them out and a few of them, let's say you had a big family, let's say there's 15 people and they found three of them and they said, we're good, let's go back to the U.S., we're done. And you said, no, wait a minute. And you can name them off. All your family, they're still here. Well, that's okay. We got most of them, or we got 20% anyway. Let's go home. You'd say, no. You don't understand. I know they're my family. I know them. We can't go yet. So people say, well, let's just go to heaven. That's selfish. Yeah, your family, maybe they're all saved. Maybe everybody you know. But God's family's not saved yet. All that are going to come in have not come in. You say, how do I know that? Because we're still here. Not all the people that need to come in have come in. So we're here doing something. We're not just passing time. It's not just about you and your 401k and your children. It's not just about all that. That's all part. I mean, thank God for our children. Thank God that, you know, you can put up for retirement, but it's not just about that. The reason we are here as Christians is that we have a mission to do, to accomplish. So you really don't have to, people pretend, they get into all kinds of side things, looking at something, well, life's just not exciting. I got to make it more exciting. They get into all these fantasy things and, you know, are all kinds of side pursuits and some of which aren't bad, but I'm saying just too caught up, looking for something exciting. If you know God and you really realize the reality of what we're living here, you already are in a battle. You already are in an adventure. And God will give you things that are going to stretch you. He's going to give you things this year. If you're walking with Him, He's going to give you something to do. And you say, well, I don't know if I can do that. That's okay, because you don't have to do it alone. You can do it with His help. And that's really the way it's supposed to be. So there is a spiritual element to this. There is, I mean, on one end we know that, but we have to know there are other things going on here rather than just what we can see. And that makes all the difference if we're aware of these things. 2 Kings 6, verse 8. This is an example. It says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. Okay, so he's conferring with the people on his side. He's saying, we're going to go do this. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So this king of Syria is telling the people on his side, here's a plan. This is what we're doing. And then Elisha would go, the man of God, and you'll see that's Elisha, he would go to Israel and say, watch out, this is what they're going to do. He didn't hear him say it, he picked up on it. He said, beware that you don't pass this place. So the Syrians are going, ha, I got it. We'll go over here. We're going to hide here, and we're going to get them. And then Elisha goes and tells the king of Israel, and he didn't hear it physically, but he said, he picked up on it, and he said, hey, don't go there. They're going to get you. Go this way. So verse 10 says, then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So this happened over and over. So this king, the Syrian king, he said, okay, I got it. Here's what we're going to do. He draws it out on, you know, the map or whatever. Here, you go over here and here. And then they go over there. And it's like Israel is reading their playbook. Knows everything they're going to do. Why? Because Elisha, every time the guy, the Syrian king would do something, Elisha goes and tells the king of Israel, I know their plan. Go this way. You'll avoid it. And this happened over and over. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled. It means he's mad. He's irritated. He's like, what the heck? They keep going everywhere. What's going on? He said, he called his servants and said to him, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He said, all right, which one of you is a rat? One of you is telling Israel where we're going, because he keeps knowing our game plan. And the verse 12 says, one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. I bet you that made him happy. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there for one guy. But this guy is messing him up royally. So he's like, I'm gonna get him. And they came by night and surrounded the city. So Elisha is at this place. He comes with all these people, and he surrounds them. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army. Imagine that. This guy goes out, looks around, and there's an army waiting for him, waiting for these guys. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Now notice, this guy's looking at an army. And he comes back into Elisha, and Elisha says, there are more with us than with him. And I'm sure the guy looked at Elisha and then looked at the army and is probably not understanding. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now let me ask you a question. Didn't he just go out and look at the army? So he is seeing, right? Physically, naturally seeing. But Elisha said, open his eyes that he may see. Not with his physical eyes. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. So he was not just seeing it. I don't know how that exactly worked, if it's actually working through his physical eyes or what, but he's not seeing what physical eyes normally see. And so he opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. And then he got out of the city. He basically told him, I'll just read it here. He said, now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led him to Samaria. So he led him right up. But my point is, so they were all blind, and they couldn't see. My point is, there were a host of chariots and horses of fire. The chariots of fire, horses, that he could not see with the natural eye. But they were there. They were real. Do you realize that there are angels in this room right now? Do you know that? Do you know there are angels in this room right now? Yeah, there are. The Bible says in Hebrews that they are ministering spirits set to minister for us. Just think about that for a moment. They're here right now. They can hear what we're saying. They know what's going on right now. They heed the word of the Lord. This is real. Now, if you said that to somebody, they say, yeah, whatever. Show me. Show me. I want to see it. No, you know it by faith. Why? The word of God says. It talks about angels. Talks about the angels, the little children being always before me. That's where you get guardian angels. But they're here. They're here to help you. They're here to help you do what God has told you to do. The Bible says in Psalm 91, that He will give His angels charge over you, so you will not dash your foot against a stone. They're there to help you. They're there to protect you. As we go about our business in 2015, it's not just you naturally going about your business. God Almighty has given you spiritual support. And I'm not just talking about angels. I mean, that we're looking at that in this word. I'm not just trying to focus in on angels per se, but the supernatural. And angels are a part of it. We have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Where you go, if you're a born-again Christian, God goes. And there is this supernatural realm. You don't have to be overly. Some people go wacko with that, and they think, you know, that's all they think is spiritual. No, we're in the natural body. You have to deal with natural things. You have to deal with, you have to eat. You need to get sleep. You don't want to act like your natural body does not matter, or else you're going to end up in a hospital. Well, I just believe I don't need sleep. Well, after a while, you're going to be forced to have sleep because your body's going to need it and it's going to say, enough. You're going to need to eat food. You need to take care of your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not all spiritual. It is natural as well, but it's not all natural. In other words, it's not just about eating. It's not just about drinking. It's not just about going to work. For the Christian, it's all. It's all together. It's natural and the supernatural. It's like Pastor Hagin always used to say. He said, you got the natural. When the natural combined with the supernatural, or when you combine the natural with the supernatural, you create an explosive force for God. When you combine the natural with the supernatural, you create an explosive force for God. You're in the natural. You're going about doing natural things this year, but you're doing it for the Lord. And there are certain things that He's going to tell you to do. He is with you all the time. So your job is not just your job. Your job is what you're doing as a resident here while you're working for the Lord, however that may be. everything takes on new significance when you realize that each of us has a call, that each of us has a specific thing we need to do, and that 2015 is very significant for the plan of God. Your job is not just a job. If it's what He's told you to do, it doesn't matter what it is, how spiritual or not spiritual certain people think it is, it becomes spiritual when you realize you're doing it in the service of the Lord. Think about it. People that, you know, we've heard of spies or people that are working undercover. If somebody was doing that in another country, their job was to somehow, you know, be in another country and convey information or whatever, and they took a job as whatever. Let's say they were a, you know, delivery boy or whatever. That's what they do so that they can do what they're really doing. What their real mission is, right? They're showing up to this job, but that's not really what they're doing. They're really there on a mission, right? So somebody said, well, you know, you're just a delivery boy. You don't even know what you're talking about. You tell somebody, you know, they're like, they can't tell you, but you have no clue what you're talking about. That's not what they're doing. They're there to do that so that they can do the real thing that they're actually supposed to be doing, right? This is very much like it is with you and I as Christians. We're here because the Lord is bringing His family in. And so He's going to call all of us to do something that has to do, that is very much a vital part of what He's doing on the earth if we'll listen to Him. And so something that may look very natural, if you're doing what God has told you to do, is actually spiritual, because you're actually impacting the world spiritually. And that will change your job from being mundane to being excited. You say, no, you don't know my job. Look, I've worked in certain things where I did not want to do it. My flesh did not want to do it. I was like, this is not spiritual. I don't want to be here. But when I realized that to go to work, to do a good job, to do an excellent job, that I was actually representing the Lord Jesus Christ in doing that, and that I was actually doing that so that I could feed my family, so that I could, you know, follow what God was telling me to do at that point, it brought on new significance to where I looked forward to getting up and going and doing that job. Because it's not just natural. That God is, it has a plan for each of us, and He's not just given it just what you're going to do in the natural to get it done. There is a supernatural element to this. There is a supernatural element to what He's called each of us to do. And so as He's telling you to do things this year, keep that in mind. Realize we're not fighting just in the natural. We are fighting, we are waging war in this earth, and it's supernatural. Look on your sheet there. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, be strong in the Lord. He didn't say, take an inventory of everything you know how to do, and then come out with all that, just what everything naturally you have. All your talents and abilities and bank account connections, you go after it. He didn't say that. He said, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Do you not just turn off your brain, not use any of your assets? No, it's you're using it subservient to the Lord and what He's telling you to do. It's not the other way around. Like, well, I can do this, so this is all I can do, that's all I can see. No, you say, God, what do You want me to do? And then based on that, He's going to use your talents and abilities to get it done. And sometimes you'll go, you want me to do what? I don't think, when I look at my balance sheet of abilities here and resources, I don't see how I can do what You're telling me to do. I think I'm short. Okay, now you have a question. Is that the Lord telling me to do it? And if it is, now who do you trust? Do you trust your assessment of what you think you can do? Or do you trust His assessment of what He knows you can do? Can He see what men can't see? Yeah, He can. And there are things that you can't see and that are happening behind the scenes that you don't know about, but He's already got in the works. I said He already has certain things in the works. You may not see it with your physical eyes, but here's what happens. If you'll do what He tells you to do, it puts you on this path. And there is things He is doing behind the scenes you can't see, but if you'll just follow Him and do what you're supposed to do, He is doing things supernaturally, and they will connect. They will collide. And when you need to certain things, just say, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know. I can't see how I could ever do this. Something that's been in the works for months or years intersects with what God told you to do, and there it is. And you say, I didn't see that coming. Well, you didn't have to see it coming. All you had to do is say, God, what do you want me to do? And see, if you just look at the natural, and you just plan your year and plan what you're going to do, just like the world does, then you're going to say, this is what I can see, here's what I have, and I'm going to set out to do this. And I'm not basing it on anything coming out from anywhere else, because I don't believe in anything else. And I'm not talking about luck, and I'm not talking about superstition. I'm saying if you are doing what the Lord God Almighty has told you to do, He has more than what you see to make that come to pass. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What is he talking about? He's talking about the spiritual realm again. No, he's talking about evil spirits here. But he's saying, you don't wrestle against the people. Well, this person's making my life, hard. You don't focus on the person and start retaliating against the person. Go to the Lord and ask Him, if you're doing what you ought to do, then be content with that. Check and make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do, that you're behaving to that person the way you ought to behave. Are you doing what you need to do? And if you're doing what you need to do, then be satisfied with that and let God work, because He is working. Don't go by just what you see. Just by what you feel, that's what the world does. Don't think like the world. Look at it, Romans 12, 1. Read this scripture with me. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't do everything like everybody else you're seeing. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, what we're doing right now is another dose of renewing our mind. We're saying, look, everything around me is telling me that everything I can see and feel, that's all there is. But we're renewing our mind. What is that? Reprogramming our mind to say, wait a minute, that's not all there is. See, I'm not supposed to just do everything like the world tells me I'm supposed to do it. If you have unsaved people, natural people telling you this is how you ought to raise your kids, this is how you ought to handle your finances. Again, how do those people know what's coming in the financial realm? They don't. They might have I'm not saying they don't know anything about financial, but not a one of them would sit there and tell you they know the future. God does. And He's told us what to do. And I don't know what 2015 holds financially, but I do know that if we'll stick to what the Lord has told us to do, He can supernaturally sustain us and get us to places that we can't see right now. I'm not talking about being unwise and doing foolish things. I'm talking about trusting the Lord with everything that we have and leaning on Him. Renewing our mind to realize there is more than what we can see and feel. There is a supernatural realm, and we're part of it because we are born again, and we tapped in to what God is doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Let's look at Philippians 2 on your sheet there. Philippians 2:12. We'll close with these, I believe. Philippians 2:12 on your sheet. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't mean you're not going to be saved. That doesn't mean you're working to get to heaven. That means you're walking out your path, not fear as in I'm scared of God, but with reverence. Know that God has something for you. And you walk it out according to what He's telling you. Don't do whatever everybody else is doing. He has a plan for you and your family, custom tailored. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is working in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. He has things that He wants each of us to walk in 2015. There are supernatural forces, supernatural beings that are there to help us get that done. God will supernaturally, not spectacularly. I didn't say spectacular. People mix up those. They're looking for spectacular. They're looking for something spectacular to happen. Something that they can go, wow, see, look, this happened to me. Now you have to believe in God. No, they don't. Nope, you don't. You're not the one that has to prove that God exists. See, supernatural things can happen, and a lot of times people can explain them away. Well, it's just coincidence. Well, I don't know. But you know. If you're walking with the Lord and He told you to do something and you know what you were thinking and say, I can't do that. I look at my inventory. I can't do that. But God, at your word, I will do it. And then you start walking and stuff splits and stuff opens up and say, well, that was just coincidence. You can say what you want, but I know what I was doing, and I know what it took to for me just to walk and step out there. This was not coincidence. This was the Lord. Scoffers will scoff. People that don't believe, unbelievers, are not going to believe. But I'm telling you, when we walk with the Lord and trust in Him and don't rely on just what we can see and feel, but on what the Lord is telling us, that is a joy to walk and see things open up and you say, God, that was you. That was you. Man, nobody can convince me that wasn't you. And then you walk and He tells you to do something else and you say, okay, here we go. And again, stuff moves and it's not earth-shattering, but you know it was the Lord. It was supernatural. See, we want to walk supernaturally. God could do something in a relationship and you say, somebody else would say, what's the big deal? And you say, you don't know this person. They don't do that. They look and say, well, yeah, lots of people do that, but not this person. You don't understand what happened. See, you're wasting your breath because people say, what's the big deal? But you can go to God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know you did that. I know you did that. You're so good. That was supernatural. And I'm telling you, you know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, and I can't quote it word for word, but the effect of it is that nobody else knows your sorrow and they don't know your joy either. A heart. You can try to convey it, and there's certain things that people won't understand why something was important to you. And they won't understand why certain things grieve you either, but God does. And God is so good. And walking with Him, you see things, and He is a powerful God and a mighty God, and He has things for us in 2015 that our eyes can't see, that you couldn't explain to somebody, but if we'll just walk along with what He tells us to do, we'll be standing here in, you know, at the end of this year and saying, look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. He is an almighty God. He is a good God. And we are not to just walk this thing out in what it is. It is a lower level of life just to do what you just know you can do. It's such a higher level of life when we step into what He can do and walk with Him and to trust Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. I need to read that last scripture before I move on. Just look at it. Philippians 4:13. I know it's familiar, but we need to close on it. I can do all things, what? Through Christ, who strengthens me. See, that's different. I can do all. Now, it's not like I can do anything I set my hands to. No, I can do anything that I set my mind to. No, see, that's the world. What we're saying is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, He's telling me what to do. I'm obeying Him and doing it, and I can do whatever He tells me to do. And that's the way I'm going to live. Hallelujah.